Welcome back to the Your Edge podcast. I'm Therese Van Rijn, Senior Director of External Communications at Zebra, and I'm joined by a few members of Zebra Nation who have championed inclusion both within our company and in the global community. Colleen O'Sullivan, who was recently featured on our Women Who Wow podcast, serves as the executive sponsor for our Women's Inclusion Network, also known as WIN. James Morley Smith is one of our global co-chairs for WIN, and I've had the pleasure of serving with him as a co-chair of WIN for the last 6 months. And Shelley Eads is Zebra's Senior Director of Inclusion and Diversity and HR Transformation. Since one of the themes for International Women's Day is inspiring inclusion, and the UN is advocating for us to invest more in women to accelerate progress, I thought these three colleagues could help us better understand how we can do both. They are each advocating for more investment in women in some very interesting ways, and they are naturally very inclusive of women and really all people every day. So I thought they can share how they are striving for greater investment and inclusivity to offer the rest of us some inspiration. Why don't we open the discussion with a simple question? Colleen, I'd love to start with you. What does inclusion mean to you?
Thanks, Therese. Glad to be here today to speak with everyone. I think for me, inclusion is more than just tolerance. It's an active activity that we have to do as people of various backgrounds, ethnicities, demographics, to make sure that other voices are heard. So it's an active verb, inclusion. It's not a statement. It is actually showing that we want to bring people to the table, have their voice be heard as we think more about what decisions need to get made, how we move forward as an organization or as a people. So this is beyond just our daily lives at work, but everywhere else in the community as well.
Shelley, what do you think?
Yeah. So to me, I think there's an element of understanding different perspectives. There's an awareness that comes with being inclusive. So for me, inclusion is about having an open mind to the different perspectives, backgrounds, and the different ways in which individuals could enrich your experiences too, and build on those ideas that you might have. So for me, inclusion is around building on the value of difference, appreciating that, understanding that, and knowing how to work with that in ways that's collaborative and innovative.
And James?
Yeah, so similar answers, really, you know, recognizing that everyone is different and respecting that. You know, I just kind of look at it in layers and start with the fact that if you recognize, if you respect everyone's opinion, you know, everyone's different, and that with that recognize that everyone's experiences are different and how that can enrich our what we do and how that maybe could be used for problem solving or just creating discourse in conversation, right? You know, just because you don't have the same opinion as someone else doesn't mean that they are wrong. And with that comes, like, you know, the response of how you respond to other people and using that as a, you know, the active aspect that Colleen was talking about. You know, if I respond dismissing someone's opinion because maybe, you know, they are different, you know, we're not including them, but responding in a way that means that I may not agree, but I see their opinion as important. So it's that active element. You know, I think Colleen really nailed it there. That active element, inclusivity, is saying I am actively allowing you to have your voice.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's that diversity of perspectives is what makes us stronger. There are lots of ways to ensure all people feel included, to create spaces at work, at home, and in society at large, where everyone is treated equally, given equal opportunities, and valued for their unique perspectives. So I'm curious how each of you strive to ensure all people you meet feel comfortable being themselves, speaking up about their ideas and beliefs, and participating in conversations or activities without fear of repercussion. What are some actions we can take that may not be so obvious? Perhaps there are more natural ways to be inclusive beyond the recommendations we often hear from groups driving formalized outreach or inclusion efforts. Shelley, what do you think on that one?
Yeah, I think it's pretty courageous, right, to put yourself out there and to give your perspectives. And so one of the things that I'm learning a lot is that I have to lead with that. So sharing how I feel creating the space for other people to be courageous. And in fact, there was an example recently. I've had some changes in my role alongside other changes to team members. And when we were communicating some of these changes, I was pretty open about the fact that I'm excited, but I'm scared, right? And I hadn't really thought about this for a while. And I was kind of thinking about this example and the spirit of the conversation that we're having here. But the person said to me, you gave me the space to also say that I'm scared. And so I think feeling included is about how we lead from the front, but also give that space for other people then to react. So that's some of the things that I think about is how do I create that space through the very language and how I express how I'm feeling to allow other people to be courageous and know that that's okay.
Mm-hmm. I like that you show you're vulnerable, right? So that they feel more comfortable. Yeah. James, exactly. How about you?
Yeah, being yourself is important, isn't it? You know, is if you put up a shield or a front, then that, you know, promotes everyone else doing the same. So I think that vulnerability is really important. I like that, Shelley. One of the things that I try to do is not be the first to speak. Yeah, and that's quite difficult for me, by the way. I'm definitely my mind gets a bit active and I just want to jump in. Shelley's nodding there. Thanks, Shelley.
Sorry, James.
yeah, in a meeting, if it's an active meeting where everyone's participating, I'm not presenting, say, I will try and sit back and allow everyone else to respond first. So certainly if I'm the more senior person in the room, I think it's really important to, if I'm the more senior person in the room and I respond, then it's a tendency to just allow that to be the answer. And I really want everyone else to step in first. So I think for me, that allows, you know, being vulnerable to start with, you know, so therefore, you know, showing that I may not have the answers, and then allowing other people to respond first is an active way of inclusivity.
I like that, James. I too have that tendency to jump in and want to solve things. But I think I would just add, just thinking about it from my perspective of having a global team and understanding the differences that people bring to the table and how they interact. And so I try to do things in different ways, you know, having Z chats with smaller groups, people feeling a little more comfortable talking openly in a smaller group. You know, skip level one-on-ones just for the perspective of seeing how people are doing, and not necessarily around a tactical what's happening in the workplace, but more around what's happening with you. And then to your point, James, and setting the tone at meetings, and you as well, Shelley, right? Being open to that, your body posture, your facial expressions, which is something I get a lot of feedback on, that I should not go into the world of poker because my expressions speak for themselves. But you know, being open to those conversations and watching the room and seeing the room, and if you notice someone who maybe is thinking something but not necessarily at the point of sharing that thought, whether you call them out, maybe not in the meeting, but take that action afterwards to pull them aside and acknowledge, hey, I noticed a reaction there, you know. Do you have some feedback you'd want to give? So I think thinking about, you know, how your teams and the community at large feels comfortable with communicating is important as well.
I really like that, Colleen. Even in virtual settings, right, it's helpful to be on video so you can see those reactions, right? Those intangibles are important. Are there certain habits ingrained in us as people that might make us more prone to accidental bias? Things we should be more aware of that might inadvertently be making women feel like they aren't seen, heard, respected, or valued at a certain level because they are a woman? James, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think the first thing, you know, when I think about accidental or unconscious biases is that we all have them. Right? There is no stopping it. It is human nature. And the reason why I say that is that I think it's really important that we don't beat ourselves up about it, and therefore recognize that we have it, and there can therefore be active in how we respond to anything. You know, and am I in the way I'm responding potentially applying my unconscious or my accidental biases.
It's interesting, as I was preparing for this, there was a Russell Reynolds memo that or article that just came out. So I picked some factoids out from the article around the attention, right, given to advancing women and all underrepresented individuals in the workplace and all of the attention that we've seen, right? DEI and IND initiatives, and the statistics showed, even with all of that attention, last year only 15% of the new chief executive officer positions that were available, only 15% were filled by women. So we still have a long way to go. And if you think about what women bring to the table, some more facts, right? When a new opportunity presents itself, 70% of the time men say, yes, I can fill that role. But only 50% of the time do women feel the same. And so there is this, I'll call it baggage, that women bring of not feeling confident in their capabilities. And so may not be as active in pursuing that next opportunity. And there too, an unconscious bias. It's just human nature. It's how we are. And so being, to James's point, you know, aware of those and not feel bad about that. It is just who we are and how we present ourselves, but just being aware of those things that exist. And also the other thing that I thought was interesting out of this article is that as women think about their advancement in their career, they bring along not just themselves. There's a tendency, and statistics show, that women think about the organization at large, the culture, the ecosystem, and how will things be? Whereas, you know, looking just at them, at men, it's more about, no, how am I going to perform? So that being aware of those things are I think, is important as we think about advancing women's career and those in underrepresented groups, of just those differences that they bring to the table. So we can pull those out as leaders, be aware of those as we're working with those individuals, of how they just approach things differently. So I agree with James wholeheartedly. It's not something to be afraid of or disappointed in. It's just being aware of that at the end of the day.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's a defensiveness that we can put up when we recognize that perhaps we're being unconscious and have biases. We put up a defensiveness, and that the danger there is that you then respond in the wrong way, right? So recognizing that it's okay because we all do it, but recognizing it and responding in a sensitive way, I think is the key there, right?
And encouraging people when that happens, because accidental bias is going to take place. And I think, Colleen, going back to what you were saying earlier, we're in a global organization, and this, you know, if you layer on, I'm female, I'm English, you know, I've had a certain background, there's lots of opportunities for accidental bias to take place in all of that. And also to, when you're experiencing different cultures as a woman, right, there's lots of different things that you're also navigating as well, because, you know, societies operate in different ways. We're not all in the same places as it relates to, you know, how women are advanced or treated in the world. And I think there's also, there's an element of being a bit more forgiving of each other at times, but also encouraging that learning process. And I think I come back to the word courageous. There's often times that I've had experienced individuals coming to me to say, I've experienced this, but it's okay, I just want you to know about it. And then, you know, what I think we also have to really encourage through communication vehicles like this is to say, hey, it's okay to speak up, because otherwise we won't learn, right? And we stay in the same place of accidental bias and defensiveness and some of the patterns that we've talked about. So I think it's also really encouraging, hey, if you experience that and it doesn't feel good, then we need to encourage that learning to take place. And to James's point, it is, when I've had feedback, it didn't feel good, but the positive about that is that I got learning from it. And I was much more aware of that. And then I was, you know, the ability to make those accidental mistakes was mitigated because I got the feedback. So I just want to encourage that too.
Yeah.
It's important to share that feedback as hard as it can be.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Colleen, I like your data that you used about 70% of men will go for a role versus 50% if they don't feel like they meet all the criteria. Wow. I heard someone say recently that you'll have more setbacks in life based on doubt versus failure.
Mm-hmm.
meaning don't doubt yourself, at least go for it. You may fail, but at least you've tried.
Right.
Right. So I really think that's important.
Love that.
Are there certain things women can be doing to ensure they aren't being accidentally excluded by others? For example, there may be times when a woman assumes she's not being given opportunities because she's a woman, when in reality, her skills and knowledge just weren't well known by others, that it wasn't necessarily discrimination so much as that woman just not advocating for herself to be considered. Mm-hmm. So what are your recommendations to women who don't want to be dismissed or overlooked? Colleen, what are your thoughts?
I think a couple of things, you know, going back to some of the factoids I shared earlier, to me, for both women and I think underrepresented individuals, it's sponsorship becomes critical, right? Finding someone who is going to be your advocate, right? So they understand who you are. You need to think a little bit more as that sponsor to invite that individual to think, right? To take that leap. And be courageous, to use Shelley's words. I also think, though, to the extent from a skill set, if there is a skill set gap, I always revert back to some training a while ago about being kind, not nice, right? Mm. Being nice doesn't give that pointed feedback. Being kind does, saying, here's where you're needing some additional development opportunity. Not saying you can't get there, but I want to be clear with you that there is a gap. And so we sometimes don't feel comfortable giving that frank feedback, but being kind about it, right? And being able to, maybe the word courageous in sharing that back. And the other thing is, you know, succession planning early, right? Acknowledging, as I mentioned earlier, some of the differences in how women think about advancing, really talking and being open, perhaps with your team members, saying, I have you on my succession plan, but here are some things that you need to do if you really want to be there. So making it okay to share that conversation around, I'm thinking about you as your leader, that you have potential here, but here's some things I need you to do. So being open and again, active in those conversations, I think is really important.
I was going to talk sponsorship, Colleen. So, and I've got a factoid, which I'm excited about. You've inspired me. So from Saramount, who's an organization that we've partnered with in the DEI space. And they said that women are 20% less likely than men to have a network and a sponsor. And I think having the sponsor is just as valuable as that network. Right. And a network of individuals that are advocating for you, but giving you that feedback, like you were asking, Therese, to kind of push you along. There are times when I needed people to say to me, hey, that doubt, the doubt that you've got, go for it. Right. You need that network as well of those people that are really advocating for you, as well as the sponsor that's involved in that decision making. So I think thinking about both of those things is really important. And also just want to echo the comment that Colleen said around that really rugged, honest feedback. And there's a book called The Culture Code, which is an amazing read. And there's lots of content in there about belonging. And what I'd never really thought about, and it's covered in this book and other writers talk about this, is that if you're really honest with individuals and give that really caring, kind feedback, it really means that it gives them a sense of belonging because you care enough about them to give them that feedback. I want you to know this because I want you to be successful means you care about them. Yeah. So that kind of connection between caring, honest feedback and belonging and inclusion wasn't something that really occurred to me before. So I think seeking that out from the people that you know will offer that to you, I think is important as part of that network that I just talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sponsorship is amazing, isn't it? I've been lucky to have someone, you know, who's acted as a sponsor for me, and that person's actually a woman who is one of the most inspiring people I know. And what I think is amazing about sponsorship, I'm really glad you brought this up, Colleen, is that there is that trust, isn't there? And therefore, you can, when you get the feedback, you respect it and listen to it, right? I've certainly had that given to me, and because it's a sponsor who I trust, I've been able to just take it on board and react to that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, when I was preparing for this question, the thing that came up was individual development plans, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and having that plan and using that to kind of look at yourself and say, what gaps have I got, right? And how can I then build upon those gaps to make myself ready. But I'm very cautious at this point to recognize that I'm aware that women especially suffer from imposter syndrome more so than men. That's quite well recorded. And I say that because I wouldn't want the idea of reflecting on yourself and looking where are my gaps to kind of allow that imposter syndrome to creep in and mm-hmm. and take over. We all have that in different levels, but it is recognized that women have that more. So maybe kind of reflect on yourself, but have that imposter syndrome knowledge back there and recognize it and say, I'm going to keep you at bay because you're not useful for me right now. But everyone needs to develop themselves, you know, whatever their background, whatever their gender, whatever their wherever they've come from, everyone needs to develop themselves and be prepared. And I think, you know, your question, Therese, said it's possible that you may not have the skills. You know, that's okay. You know, then therefore use that as a to empower you to drive forward, to get those skills, to do the thing that you want to do.
Absolutely. Given that the UN is advocating for greater investment in women, I feel it's important we talk a bit about what that means. When I hear the word investment, my brain naturally migrates to money. That money needs to be dedicated to programs that give women access to education or career growth resources. However, I suspect there are many non-monetary ways to invest in women to uplift them. And these are the types of investments every person on this planet can make. So would you talk a bit about the ways you're investing in women and how you've seen others invest in women? Colleen and Shelley, perhaps you have examples how others have invested in you.
Sure, I'm happy to start. I think, you know, for example, Wynn is a great example, I think, of investing. Not that we don't spend some money bringing in some speakers, but the focus is more on the network and sharing ideas and sharing experiences. And to James's earlier point, we all can develop, myself included, right? And so being able to listen to see, and I find in many of the situations, an aha moment where you go, I experienced that and I'm not alone, right? And it's okay to react in the way you did. So I think things like networks that bring like people together for whatever reason, our various inclusion networks. For me also, it's flexibility. Right. I'm a mother of four, worked full time my whole career. And if it wasn't for that flexibility from my managers, from the companies I worked with, from my spouse, you know, that was really important in being able to still be engaged in their lives and still feel fulfilled from a career perspective. I once had a peer of mine say, and I think I've shared this in other venues, you know, your children are young once, and don't let work get in the way of being also actively engaged there. And so that really hit me hard, right? Because you have these conflicts of, I need to get something done, but it's, like I've used this before, hot dog day, something that's important in the elementary school here in the US. As a parent, you can come in. So how do you balance those things? So for me personally, it's been working very closely with my managers and having very wonderful managers who have been open to that flexibility to allow me to have both, right? And I think that's really important, which is not, again, a monetary thing. As a finance lady, investment does sound like money to me as well, but there's many other things. The last thing I'll say is the sponsorship piece, right? We spend a lot of time talking about that, but that's just human interaction. Right? Seeking someone out who you trust and value and being comfortable in asking perhaps that person to be your sponsor, right? So being active in your own, in your own career, finding that person that, or people that you feel comfortable doing that with. So those are just a couple of things that have worked for me. And as I now lead others, encourage the same for them.
Echoing the sponsorship, I've had people that are very different to me sponsoring me, and still do to this day. Thank you. and that investment is not, you know, that's investment of their time. That's an investment of their reputation on me. And that doesn't go unnoticed either. And so there's that. And I think about how I can give that back to other people. And so I think as an organization, and some of the things that we're thinking about is, you know, with of the foundation and the great work that you did, Therese, from a philanthropic societal impact, there's so much more that we can do out there. Because the investment internally with great leaders that we have, with all the differences that we have, is amazing. And I think we should be really proud of that. There's clearly more work that we can do. The fact of the matter is that we're not going to see any of those differences unless we try to, you know, impact society. And many other organizations are thinking about how to bring that philanthropic connection to, you know, getting more girls interested in STEM. I have an 11-year-old daughter, and she tells me already she hates science. I'm like, no. So, you know, these patterns continue. I don't think I've influenced that, but these patterns still continue, and it fascinates me. So I think the investments that we need to think about, and by the way, we've done loads from a leadership development program perspective in Zebra, which have a good representation that we should be really proud of. Having sponsorship off the back of those investments is really important. We might mention sponsorship a few more times before we close this. Yeah. But I did want to reference the societal impact as well, because that is investment too. It's investment of our time, our mentoring, developing the skills and the interest across different communities, not just women, to get interested in areas like STEM and creating those prospects and opportunities to, you know, be the next generation after us. So I wanted to give that a mention too, Therese.
Mm-hmm. I love that. James, are there unique ways you're investing in women?
I don't know if they're that unique, but I think the things that are raise, you know, first of all, the succession planning, I think, which we've talked about already, but succession planning, and I try and look at my team and make sure that I am building up a diverse slate of succession. It's not, you don't have, but I don't know if people realize this, but you don't have one successor. You have a number of people that you're lining up as a successor because you're trying to mitigate risk, right? And give yourself opportunity. So building up a diversity of succession is really important. And I personally make sure that I've got women on that list because it's very easy, especially in we don't have a balance of male and female associates across the company. So therefore we have to be active in ensuring that there are opportunities. And so I do that personally. I think that's something that we should all do across the company. It's not a policy, but I try and talk about how everyone should do that. But I think, you know, that's an investment directly in our teams. I think the word investment, you talked about the financial aspect of it, but investment is lots of things. Just in your own time, in your own thought, you know, how much time do you spend thinking about you know, diversity and how we can promote opportunities for women, you know, but also I think our inclusion networks, our ERGs, are incredible. The difference I've seen, I've been at the company for a very long time, the difference I've seen since the ERGs have really taken root and making a difference is huge. You know, and it's in the way that people respond and the way that people recognize each other as and respect them for who they are and where they come from. That is an investment. It's an investment in thought, in leadership, and an investment in respect. Yeah. So the word invest is not financial. It can be so many different things. I celebrate our ERGs internally and externally. I talk about it to my friends. I talk about how it's made me feel different and think differently. And my time on WIN has, from the first month, I remember when I joined WIN as a co-leader a couple of years ago now, after the first month, I was like, wow, I had no idea really. And I had to kind of bring myself down a little bit and appreciate what it means to be a woman in technology or in the workplace, full stop. You know, I have such an appreciation for the amazing women at our company and what they bring. And I'm inspired by you all.
Can I use that as a bit of a plug, Therese? Is all to say that there's going to be a number of leadership opportunities that will come up this year through our various ERGs. And if you're not a member today, you know, come talk to us about those opportunities, because listening to James, you know, it's inspiring to hear some of the learning that's taken place. But, you know, that's an investment in your development. Those roles, whether it's a leadership role or other roles across those ERGs, the impact that those teams are making, the awareness that they're creating for us is remarkable. And I think being a part of that is developmental, further investment for you, and should really, you know, be something that you should be advocating yourself for too. So if there's an interest win or across all of our ERGs, then please do let us know, and we'll certainly advocate for you.
That's a great plug, Shelley. For those zebras who are listening, step up, right? Explore. There are so many leadership roles. James and I have enjoyed being co-leads. Colleen is our executive sponsor of WIN. Just so many opportunities. Please step up. Don't doubt yourself. You can do it.
Yes.
And for those outside of Zebra, look for leadership roles in your companies as well. If you have ERGs, if you don't, how can you create one? You have to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And I think you've all made it perfectly clear that investing in women is more than just the treasure, more than the monetary aspect. It's the time, it's the talents that you bring forward. And you're all obviously doing that in your everyday lives. And we appreciate that. We appreciate you being with us today as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Therese.
Absolutely. And thank you all for listening. I'm Therese Van Ryn. Until next time.